definitely human.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is the spring of 1929, and at the furthest reaches of the world, five embattled travelers have embarked on their final adventure, vowing to put an end to the powerful cult of an ancient and terrible evil. At the meteorological station of Little Halkirk in Antarctica, our heroes are once again faced with the otherworldly monsters that they first encountered 10 years ago. Now, they must put aside thoughts of Angela Gresley and focus on survival, lest the writhing, grasping horrors drag them screaming into the infinite bad. The Doom of Antarctica, Part 5. The vast and inhospitable wilderness of Antarctica stretches outwards endlessly, like the edge of hell. Bitter winds lash the icy desert with an unrivaled intensity, and the pitiless cold denies all but the hardiest of life. Here, in perfect isolation, is the Little Halkirk Meteorological Station, its lightless structure barely visible in the blinding storm. Within this small, snow-battered cabin, a nightmare is unfolding. A grotesque, squirming mass of peeling flesh and protruding bone is crawling on 100 sprouting fingers towards Sebastian St. Battenberg and Cornelia Cavendish, who stand stupefied in the doorway, awaiting the inevitable dread.
18.
6.
Sebastian, you were beginning to think that maybe John and Stuart were all right, and you could kind of...
I did.
You understood them as people,
they seem
you know.
Like nice guys.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're disappointed as well as horrified. You gain 15 dread. Cornelia, you were suspicious of them from the start, and this seems to confirm your suspicions. You only gain 5 dread. You honestly have seen worse in terms of your husband becoming a horrific monster.
Yes.
So this doesn't take you back quite as much. Sebastian, what would you like to do? They're both barreling towards you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's coming towards me, I think I'm just going to fire again.
Yeah, go for it. Make a shot.
2.
It's slightly harder to focus your aim on them now that they are horrific, skittering hand beasts than they were as John and Stuart, meteorologists. Your shot goes wide, and they continue slouching towards you, making unconscionably disgusting sounds as they do so. Cornelia.
I would like to shut the door and lock it.
Okay, so Sebastian, make a dexterity check to step back as Cornelia is slamming the door shut.
3.
Okay, so you start to close the door, Cornelia, and motion to Sebastian to step back. But he looks over to you as if he thinks you might need his help with something, but he doesn't. You're telling him to move. He's like, no, what? And so he doesn't step away from the door.
Can I grab him and pull him in?
Make a strength check.
5.
So you're tugging at his collar. Sebastian, you don't understand why Cornelia is trying to distract you when there's two monsters right in front of you.
What is it, woman? Haven't you seen what's happening here?
Retreat! Retreat!
Joy and Dorothy, you're downstairs with Harvey. Joy, you've seen the exit. what would both of you like to do?
Where's John Salim? Can we tell? Is he coming down?
He's still in the office room upstairs.
I'm going to, like, holler up the passageway
to
say, we're down here, John Salim, come down.
Okay. You can hear John Salim starting to make his way down the shaft.
Should I untie Harvey?
He's not tied up.
Oh.
Mm.
Is he still conscious?
Barely.
Okay. I think we should explain to him that we are going to take him with us.
Okay.
And then there's nothing that we could use to kind of, like, no sheets or anything like that in this room, is there?
No, not really.
Okay. How heavy is he?
Quite light, you would estimate. Maybe 45, 50 kilos. Less even, 45.
So I might be able to carry him, like, over my shoulder or something?
You'd need to make a strength check.
Okay.
It wouldn't be easy, let's say.
Okay. I think I might get him in a position where it's going to be easy to do that, but I think I'll wait to see whether or not John Salim or Sebastian are able to come down.
Dorothy, make a perception check as you are kind of maneuvering Harvey into position.
Okay. 15.
As you're maneuvering him, you put your hand on his torso to try to move him, and you're horrified to find that there are gaps in his torso where you expected to be able to find the purchase on his chest. You open his shirt, and you see that almost at random, like missing slats in a xylophone, ribs of his have been plucked out. And you can see the skin has healed over them, creating these horrible hollows in his chest. And he cries out in what must be unimaginable pain as soon as you start handling his chest at all.
I don't think we can take him anywhere. He's not going to...
Do I have a coat on or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. You have your winter coat on.
Okay, so maybe I'll take off the coat and we can sort of just roll him into that and we can sort of use it as a hammock. That won't be too uncomfortable, probably. When I had my hands on his torso, there didn't feel like there were, like hands on the inside of his torso.
No, it felt like you were pressing your fingers into his organs.
Oh, God.
So, Sebastian, the two, John and Stuart, are now within range of you, and they will attack you. Wow. Okay, so both of them place dozens of hands all over you. Cornelia, you watch in horror as these hands begin clawing and tearing at your flesh. You take 4 points of damage, Sebastian. As the front of your winter clothes is ripped off within seconds, and they begin tearing their rough nails into the flesh on your chest. You cry out in anguish. Jean-Céline has made it to the bottom of the shaft now. Cornelia, what would you like to do?
Am I being grabbed? I'm not.
You're not being grabbed. You're right next to Sebastian, and both of them seem to be focusing their attention on him.
Okay. Sorry. I can stab him with my cane. That's all I've got. Otherwise, I want to pull Sebastian into the room and shut the door forcibly.
Okay.
And lock it.
Both even, like, grab and then push with your cane, like, as almost to give purchase, almost, like...
I can sure try. Say, back, you foul beasts!
Like, ouch! Go, save yourself!
And I stab.
Go for it.
16.
16, that's a hit. Roll 1d6 for damage.
6.
Nice. Okay, you plunge your cane straight into the core of this nest of hands and elbows and arms and knuckles, and it goes straight in. You manage to almost weave your way in between the forearms to get to the core of whatever. You can't tell if it was John or Stuart that you're impaling with your cane. And almost immediately you hear this squealing sound emanating from the center of this nest, and the hands immediately grab the cane and they pull it away from you. The one that you stabbed staggers to the ground and it snaps the cane immediately, twitching and skittering and trying to get back up onto its feet and onto its kind of hands that it was using to break in along the ground. But it's clearly wounded and having trouble doing so. You manage then to release Sebastian from the grip of it and tug him back. Make a dexterity check at disadvantage to be able to close the door in that same motion, though, because you've done quite a lot.
2.
Okay, you start closing the door. You manage to pull Sebastian back, but unfortunately, the other monster has managed to barge its way into the threshold and is making the closing of the door impossible at this point. Sebastian, you can act now.
Can I go backwards whilst firing?
Yes, you can. You will take disadvantage to your attack roll. to do so then. Are you going backwards where? You're trying to get into the trapdoor or are you just
going
backwards?
Going back towards the trapdoor, yeah.
Okay.
Nine.
That is a hit. They're right next to you, so roll for damage.
Sweet.
Ten.
Wow. Your bullet goes straight again into the core of this nest of arms, and you can see it lancing through multiple forearms on its way, on its trajectory into the core of the beast. And you can see that it almost immediately slumps and goes still, very still. The other one screeches in what you imagine might be outrage or anger, but it gets back up to its feet and starts progressing towards you. You have managed to stumble backwards, though, and you're now right above the trapdoor. Cornelia is now the closest one to the remaining hand monster that is still standing.
I guess I'm still holding my gun up to this thing, just like, go! Go now!
I would like to flee.
Okay, so you start going down the trapdoor, Cornelia.
Absolutely, yes.
Joy and Dorothy, what are you doing downstairs? You can hear that whatever's happening is getting closer
to
the trapdoor.
I was going to say, I was going to ask John Selim to help with Harvey, and then I was going to go up and check on the guys.
Okay, so John Selim looks around in a blind panic. He sees Harvey, and he goes, what? Who is this?
He's just an injured man who needs our help. Can you do that for me, John Selim?
Okay, let's see if Jean Selim. Okay, Jean Selim takes a deep breath and then he says, okay, let's go. Let's get out of here. He grabs Harvey somewhat roughly. Harvey cries out again, mutely in pain. But Jean Selim is in too much of a blind panic to miss him. He just starts dragging him by the shoulders.
Wow.
Joy, you then proceed to the bottom of the tunnel where you can see Cornelia is starting to make her way down. How do you want to facilitate this?
Well, yeah, I don't know, just help her. I mean, she's obviously lost her cane now, so... Cornelia, is everything okay?
No!
Oh, God, come, monsters!
Oh, my God!
Flee!
Okay, you don't need to make a check, Cornelia, because Joy is at the bottom. She manages to steady you as you make your way down the icy iron ladder. So you're now both at the bottom of the tunnel. Sebastian, you're the only one who remains now in the office. You can see that the monster that you had shot and that was lying still is slowly beginning to twitch again and is showing signs of life. You can see additional hands sprouting from whatever is at the core of it. The other one is still savagely making its way towards you. He will take... Oh, okay. So as it's stumbling towards you, it actually gets caught up on the hands of the other one and they briefly entangle with each other and have to push each other apart and they lose their action doing that. It's very, very tight quarters now and they take up quite a lot of space.
I just look down at them and I say, I'm not angry, gentlemen. I'm just very disappointed that I climbed down the ladder, closing it behind me.
Oh, closing it behind you. Okay, make a strength check.
11.
So you manage to slam it onto one of the hands as it reaches and grasps towards you. You slam it a couple of times and then eventually the hand recedes from the trapdoor and you manage to close it in this way. Now you are all in the basement room, except for Jean-Céline, who has booked it towards the basement door. He slammed the basement door open, admitting a huge blast of wintry air into the basement, and he's just going full pelt, dragging Harvey's body through the snow.
Are you not helping him? He's just like gone off with Harvey without your assistance.
Yeah.
Well, he was too fast.
Yeah, he's kind of fire underneath him, I guess. So are we exiting then?
Yeah, we're getting out of here.
I'll catch up to John Selim and take the other end of the coat so that Harvey isn't dragging along the floor.
You managed to sprint up the stairs and carry the other end so that Harvey's not he's not dragging through the floor. Make a athletics check to do so successfully and gently enough that you're not distressing Harvey unnecessarily.
4.
Okay, you grab the edge of the coat, and unfortunately, in doing so, you twist the coat and it tips him over and out of the snow. The snow is soft. It probably didn't hurt very much, but you need to take the round to kind of swaddle him back into the coat. You can see that Harvey looks unresponsive. You don't know if he's dead or not, but his eyes are no longer open. The rest of you, you can make your way out into the snow without making any check. Mm-hmm. What direction do you want to run in?
Can we see where the provisions are?
Yeah.
So you can see all around you. There's an almost total whiteout. The only thing you can see besides the cabin is the shed, which ostensibly was for the dogs.
Is it still nighttime?
It is, yes.
What time is it?
You would estimate that it's like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
Okay.
So we can see the shed, but we can't see where our provisions would be.
They're not anywhere within 20 feet, which is pretty much the distance that you can see in this condition.
These hand monsters, are they too big to fit out the door?
No.
Would our supplies not just be outside the front door?
You're around the back because you just come out the basement door. So you can circle back around to the front door and see if they're there.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We can't survive without
because that's
that.
Where our sled would be as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And when we finally do get these dogs, yeah. We'll need the sled.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So you start making your way around to the front door. You can hear skittering. And you can hear as you're circling around the cabin that they seem to try to follow you into the basement. And they might even have made their way outside the basement door, but you do see your supplies on your sled. It seems like they left them just outside the door when they pulled you in and they never went back out for them.
Harvey on the sled?
Yes.
Yes,
Harvey and then the we sled. Pull it to the shed.
As you start making your way back towards the shed, you can hear the skittering and screeching has grown much louder. They are both outside now and they seem to be looking for you. Do you still want to go for the shed?
I think
are we
going to
be trapped
so?
In the shed?
I mean, the thing is, how long are they going to last in this cold?
That's true.
They're not wearing furs.
Anything, yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
They're just a mass of hands. I don't know if that makes, is that
yeah,
better or
now,
worse? Like,
and now we've got Harvey on the sled. We can be pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can make it.
I don't know on powdered snow how helpful these little hand monsters are.
That's true. We just go straight. It would be really difficult to,
yeah.
to get anywhere.
I think
yeah.
we've definitely got the upper hand here.
All right. Ladies, weapons drawn.
Yes.
Some of us are going to go into the shed. I think some of us should stay outside and keep a lookout for these creatures.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So who's going into the shed and who's staying outside?
I'll go in.
You should go in too. Yeah, we'll stay outside.
Yeah. I want to rifle through our provisions and get another coat anyway.
Okay.
Right now I'm a bit chilly.
Yeah.
And for Sebastian. Sebastian, your attire
oh, yes.
has been...
You're
yes.
naked.
Yeah, your hairy chest is exposed to the elements, like some sort of Byronic explorer. Yeah.
Like stare at you for a while, like, what? Oh my god! Again! Why does this keep happening to me?
So you sword batter.
Okay, so you're going inside, though, the shed.
They can look for furs while we...
Yeah.
Explore the shed a little.
Sure.
Okay.
It's better for him to be inside if he's
yeah.
naked anyway, so...
Cornelian Sebastian, the shed, is, the door to the shed is ajar. And you go inside, and instantly it smells of dog. You do think that there were dogs here. There are no longer dogs here, though. There is an enormous amount of dry dog food, an enormous amount of dry dog food. There are also multiple harnesses that you believe might have been used to lash dozens of dogs to the same sled, and there is a sled. There seems to be enough room for several sleds, maybe up to three side by side. There's only one remaining, though.
Is it worth us taking a sled and harnesses with us, or is this fantasy at this point that we're ever going to find dogs?
If we did find dogs, surely they would have harnesses
yeah,
and be attached to sleds.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to lumber ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I make a perception check just to see if there's anything of interest in here?
Yeah, make an investigation check.
I guess I'll root around as well.
Mm-hmm.
19.
20.
Wow. Okay, so you see three bottles of weak yellow tea in one of the corners.
Of course.
They must have fed that to the dogs.
Don't even say that. I refuse to believe that we're about to see some dogs that have no.
That's fine. We don't tell Dorothy.
Yeah. Cornelia, you find four sticks of dynamite.
Yes.
I will pocket those.
Okay. Joy and Dorothy. Dorothy, you have managed to find a coat in your provisions and have put it over yourself. And you're keeping a lookout. You can tell that whatever the skittering hand monsters are, they have surmised that if you're nowhere in the cabin, you're probably at the dog shed. And so they're coming towards you and you can hear them getting closer. You're getting quite nervous now.
Have I found clothes for Sebastian?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to lay those out and put them to one side. and I'm just going to have my pistol drawn.
Okay. Cornelia and Sebastian, what do you want
to
do?
Time to leave, Sebastian, perhaps.
You don't think they really would have done that to the dogs, do you, Mrs. Cavendish?
I do, I'm afraid.
Oh, God. All right. Yes, we should head for that X on the map.
Yes, we should.
Yeah, we run back to the others, I guess.
You run back to the others.
And I get dressed.
Sebastian, you take the coat that has been kindly laid out for you. If you're now heading for the X on the map, make intelligence checks to see if you can figure out, in this very disorienting conditions, the right way to go.
18.
15.
15.
20.
Wow. Okay, so...
yes, Dan,
you are
yes.
all agreed. You all point in the same direction at the same time. You're like, right, let's do this.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay, yeah, so you can start... You feel like you have a very good sense of where you need to go to reach the observation post as it was shown on the map. You flee full pelt into the driving snow, slipping momentarily over the ice, Sebastian and Cornelia, that formed at the threshold of the dog shed due to the warmth inside. Behind you, the terrible skittering and keening sound continues, and you dare not look back even as it begins to recede in the distance. You can't know what awaits you at the observation outpost or what fate may have befallen the final explorers, Duncan and Tom. You drive forward heedlessly nonetheless, not stopping to speak to each other, barely able to turn your heads every few minutes to register the presence of the rest of your party. It's been about 40 minutes now. You don't yet see any sign that you're nearing your destination or anywhere safe. Indeed, you're completely surrounded by a whirling vortex of wind, snow, and white opacity. You're disoriented, and within 15 minutes, you begin to grow seriously worried that you've fallen off course. So make constitution saves against the weather, and intelligence saves to make sure that you're staying on course.
Okay. 17.
10.
18. 1.
Oh, Dorothy. Okay, so this is your constitution saves. The rest of you have made them. You don't take a level of exhaustion. Dorothy, unfortunately, you take 2 levels of exhaustion. The coat that you managed to get out of your provisions was not as heavy and warm as the one that you've been using for Harvey. And it was the first coat that you saw, so you just grabbed it. But now you're really, really regretting that decision. So you're at the second level of exhaustion now. So you're going to take disadvantage in your ability checks and your attack rolls.
Okay.
Intelligence
checks to make sure that you're still on course.
Okay.
That's a disadvantage for me.
18.
4.
8.
12.
Okay, so you're all pretty sure that you have the right direction. Cornelia is the one who knows that you have fallen off course and you need to turn right quite sharply in order to stay on course to get to the observation post.
I think we just need to keep going straight.
We must turn right.
What?
Listen to me.
Cornelia,
none of your
you
back
sure?
chat. We must turn right.
Cornelia,
we turn right here.
Cornelia,
go!
Listen to your elders, Joy.
Okay, all right. Let's
I
make
love
a sharp
you,
right.
But you must do as you're told. That is how I express my love. We turn right.
I trust
all right.
you.
Okay, that settles that.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Okay, so you continue, and for another 20 minutes now, the flurrying snow whips mercilessly against your cracked cheeks and obscures almost everything in front of you, and you're only a few meters away when you detect a strange huddle of shadowed figures making strange jerking movements. They're about 4 feet high and seem heavy set. As you approach more closely, the shapes come into sharper relief and you recognize them. They are penguins. Large and almost as tall as a man, about a dozen of them are crowded around something that steams and gives off the smell of blood and entrails. As the birds shuffle and trundle around the carcass, you can see now that it is the body of a large stag, glassy-eyed and nostrils flared. The penguins seem to be feeding on it, possessed by some sort of frenzied energy.
Penguins? Penguins don't eat stag.
Make wisdom checks. There's all sorts of things that don't fit about this. At disadvantage, Dorothy, yeah.
19.
17.
2.
3.
Okay, so...
I'm just like, no. No!
Cornelia, this just seems quite frivolous to you. 5 dread, and similarly, Joy, you gain 5 dread. But Sebastian, there's something that seems very wrong about this. You saw pictures of penguins in your books as a child, and you were always... They were always a happy animal to you. And seeing them like this, this is the first time you've seen them in real life, so you can only assume this is what penguins are actually like.
They lied to me. They all lied to me.
Great, so you gain 15 dread, Sebastian. And Dorothy, you gain 15 dread also.
I would like to avoid these penguins if we could. Mm. So can we see the observation tower?
You can't see it yet, but you can see that this stag has left some tracks. They're almost immediately lost in the snow, and the bloody trail that goes a little bit more or less in the direction that you were planning to go. But okay, it's almost all being lost in the snow quite quickly.
Are we still hearing the skittering behind us?
No.
All right.
Okay. Do we follow the trail?
I think so. We must avoid these penguins, though.
Is it feasible at all for me to get a warmer coat out?
Could swap with Harvey's.
Yeah. How is Harvey doing?
Yeah.
Can I check to see if
and how's Jean-Céline doing?
Yeah.
So Jean-Céline is doing okay. He's keeping up. He's not really talking to anyone, but he is walking along, and physically, he seems to be able enough to move.
Okay. Is Harvey alive?
Make a medicine check. Normal.
Yeah. 10.
He's completely unresponsive and quite cold. He might be dead, or he might be just very, very deeply under the influence of hypothermia.
Can I make an occult check on Harvey?
Yeah.
To see what I can discern about his injuries.
Yeah, sure.
Advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Should you be doing an occult check on the stag penguin situation as well, or is that a bit like it's too random to...
I will also do one on that, but I'll do Harvey first. 15.
So clearly Harvey has been subject to some sort of... His injuries are not mundane cannibalism, let's say. You can tell that the ribs that have been extracted from him, there's almost a ritual pattern to them. Whatever motivated John and Stuart to do this, it wasn't simple hunger and desperation. They were clearly trying to create something from him or do something to Harvey that goes beyond the mundane.
Okay. I would further like to do an occult check on this whole stag penguin situation.
Go for it.
14.
So this stag, this very stag, reminds you very much of the one that woke you up at Drakelow Hall 10 years ago. And looking down at it, a bolt of recognition runs through you as you can remember waking up and looking down at its steaming, snorting nostrils. That whole episode flashes back in your mind quite vividly.
We killed that stag, right?
You did. You killed that stag. And indeed, the way that it's just glassy-eyed on the ground now reminds you of the way that it died again, well, from gunshot wounds at the time.
Okay.
Cornelia's never forgotten about that first episode, the man in the fox mask and now the stag.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not taking Harvey's coat. That.
What about my coat? Is my coat nice and warm?
You have a nice warm coat on now, yeah.
All right, I swap with Dorothy then.
Yeah.
But is my coat going to fit Sebastian?
Massive bulk.
Just extremely tight lady's coat.
Is it impossible to go back to, like, did I not have
enough? No, you have a warmer coat in your provisions. You can get it on now.
Would that be okay? Do we have long enough?
Yeah. While Cornelia has been investigating the stag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
I would like to make a medicine check on Harvey.
Go for it.
4.
You look down at him. His eyes are closed. He seems blue. He's dead to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's pretty dead. You've seen this before.
Dorothy, I hate to tell you this, but I think our friend here is no more.
He may be dead or he may be suffering from extreme hypothermia, but either way, I think we just need to get him somewhere and we can do further assessment somewhere less cold.
One of the penguins has begun trundling towards you, Dorothy.
Mm-mm.
It makes strange kind of clucking noises. And then it starts pecking at Harvey's chest.
What?
No. What the hell? No!
Okay, yeah, let's get the bird away. What?
Shoo!
I would like to kick the penguin.
Yeah, how do we even let the penguin get close enough to my patient?
Well, you were all just... Yeah, you didn't really know what it was going to do. It just trundled up to you.
Can I make a strength check to kick the penguin?
Yes, please do.
Oh, don't kick the penguin.
No, kick the penguin!
This is weird. Guys.
11.
It's a solid kick. It's not like punt, like a pushing kick. And the penguin looks somewhat disgruntled, and it stumbles backwards. The other penguins seem to have taken notice and seem to be trundling all together now towards Harvey.
Are we going to have a fight with a group of penguins? It looks like that's what we're doing.
I think we should leave.
I think we need to leave. Yeah, we can run faster than they can trundle.
That's true. All right. Let's book it.
I'm not about to stop punching penguins.
I still feel betrayed by these penguins.
Let's follow the tracks.
Okay, yeah, let's follow the tracks.
Okay. You follow the tracks, and not for too much longer. It's barely 5 minutes of continued walking, and further shapes now come into view ahead, although these show no signs of moving. As you approach, you begin to make out the outline of a dog sled. And there's various cases of equipment strewn haphazardly where the sled toppled. A man's body lies face down in the snow, splayed heedless to the cold. Next to it, a smaller, huddled figure lies, and as you take in the scene, you begin to see it tremble almost imperceptibly.
What is it? Is it a dog?
Yes, it is a husky, and it has stayed next to the dead body of the man.
Oh, God. It was a good boy.
It was a really good dog. It still is. It's alive.
It's trembling slightly, but still seems...
Can I do a medical check on it?
Yes, you can. But not at... In fact, at disadvantage, because you're not even a vet.
Ten.
Yeah, you can tell that it's a good boy.
What a relief.
It's very, very cold. It's, you know, it's a husky, so it's evolved to deal with this, or it's been bred to deal with this kind of cold, but it's not doing well at all. It seems very, very sad, and it's not responding to your attention.
I'd like to give the dog a hug.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Sebastian, you don't need to roll for that. You can lie down in the snow and start giving the dog a hug. Suddenly, you hear a flash, and then followed by a profound silence, as if the howling of the wind has been in an instant sucked out of your ears. Your eyes squint in the glare of the sun, and as you stagger and struggle to adjust, you see brilliantly clear blue skies above you, stark against the pure whiteness of the snow. The dog sled still seems to be in front of you, but now it is completely buried in snow. Only the tips of it crest the surface. The dog is dead. Its body is dried out and stiff, leaning against the sled in a last vain attempt to find shelter from the cold. As you look around, dazed and disoriented, you see in the distance, further inland, a gleaming, as if reflected from glass. Some structure lies in that direction. Then, from one blink to the next, you are returned to the vicious blizzard, and the dog sled is once more uncovered. The dog, though, is no longer moving.
So upset.
You bastard.
Oh my god.
Cornelia Cavendish allows herself a grim smile, even as her shivering hands reach instinctively for a walking cane that isn't there. First, there was the stag, an omen sent through time and space, obviously meant to provoke a premonition of some kind. And now, this bizarre distortion of time, a vision that likely eludes her companions, but that Cornelia understands all too well. It is of no surprise that it would fall to her to make sense of these portents. She has a deep and intimate understanding of the occult, and has been a conduit for the spirits ever since she lost her husband, Brendel Cavendish, 4 decades ago. It has become clear to Cornelia that, despite all of these supernatural events revolving around her in some way, fate has dictated that she is too old and frail to mete out righteous justice against these agents of evil with sufficient force. But she can at least be a guide, a wise woman, imbued with an arcane knowledge to show her companions the right path. She places a hand on Joy's shoulder and fixes her with a penetrating glare. How fitting, she thinks, that her fierce, headstrong young daughter should inherit her calling. It is with some satisfaction that Cornelia can see, behind Joy's expression of utter confusion, a deep understanding of her role. You've been listening to The Doom of Antarctica, written by Giorgio Mariani and produced and edited by David Knight and Tom Dalling, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Eleanor Kohler as Dorothy Taylor, Maximilian John as Cornelia Cavendish, David Knight as Sebastian St. Battenberg, and Charlie May as Joy Dutton Cavendish. I am Giorgio Mariani, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at The Infinite Bad and support the production of this series on Patreon. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. The Infinite Bad is a Definitely Human production.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.